Hey, Pastor Chandler.
Hey, Pastor Tony.
What's going on?
What in the world is going on?
That is the question of the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. You know, in my household, in my world, the cold is going on.
Is it really?
Yeah. Not the cold outside, but like the cold of the congestion and the coughing and the snot.
It's cold too, though.
It is. Not as cold.
No, it's much better.
Yes.
And there's a...
El Nino.
Right? Right on. It's beautiful out there, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know what time you're listening to this podcast, so...
At the present moment, there's several inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah. And it's just... It's fun.
It's fluffy.
Yeah.
Outside.
Just barely too cold to roll a snowman, but nice and warm compared to 20 below.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well...
So what's happening? I don't know. We're seated today.
Still seated.
I'm standing.
Now he's standing.
I'll sit back
down. He's going to sit back down. All right. How about we go over some announcements?
Yeah.
I'm going to quietly open the newsletter.
Perfect.
And we're just going to look at some of these announcements and go over them together and maybe elaborate.
Yeah. We are literally looking at them while you are looking at them literally, but... Not actually.
Yes. You know, we wing it.
We're just winging it.
So here we go. Yeah. Going on around New Life, remember right now we are trying to memorize, or hopefully have memorized, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. That's our memory verse for the month of January, which is almost over.
It is.
One last hurrah.
We're on the edge, and you may, if you are backdating this or listening.
It could already be over.
Yeah. Might be 2017 for all we know.
Right. If you go, that'd be...
Right. So if it is 2017, happy 2017.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who would want to listen to the announcements, though, from...
Huh. Who would want to listen to them today?
Hopefully someone.
Maybe. Anyway. Hey, if you're listening, send an email to Pastor Chandler or myself.
And say we're listening?
Yeah.
And encourage others at New Life to listen.
Yeah.
If they would like.
I think this builds unity.
It does.
If anything. Yeah. Fellowship, unity, camaraderie.
It's a cyber fellowship.
Right.
You know, we studied in Philemon on Sunday about fellowship
and
the beauty of the fellowship in Jesus. And this is part of that, even filtering into the cyber world, giving us fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, continuing on with our announcements.
It's analogous to the fellowship in the Spirit because it's not physical. I wouldn't say it's identical, but...
What was the word you used?
Analogous.
That's great.
Yeah.
I can only guess what that means, but I think I got a pretty good guess based on the content of what you said around it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Context helps.
Right. Yeah. That's how I figure out most of the words I read. All right. So there's a if gathering at the Milner's home... And just let me explain what that is. Larissa and Lorraine Milner are hosting an IF gathering for women. Initially, this will be a private gathering in their home to see how this gathering is received. If received well, we as a church can sponsor one next year.
It's well read.
Typically, I wing it, but right now I'm reading it.
I mean...
It's well read.
Well read.
I'm doing this without my glasses.
Pastor Chandler has glasses.
I think they gave me the wrong prescription, though. Because used to I could read, and I'm like, maybe I can't read so well, but my eyes didn't hurt.
You know, I have no prior knowledge to this, so we need our listeners to contact you to let us know if
it's changed.
If it's possible that he has the wrong prescription.
I think it might be.
Unless his eyes went through a massive change since you've been at the eye doctor. Can we call it an eye doctor where you went?
Yeah, I did see an eye doctor.
It wasn't in the back of somebody's station wagon or anything?
No,
like
no. They didn't have time to see me, so.
Right. Usually.
I went to an optical.
Usually it's the other way around. Center. But good day for you.
Yeah. So anyways, glasses hurt my eyes. All right, IF Gathering. If you want to know what that is, women, go to ifgathering.com. Because the space is limited to the first 15 women, sign up quickly. Where can you sign up? There's a sign-up sheet at the entrance to the church building.
Yeah,
and you can stop by on Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
Or knock on the door on another day and hope somebody's there.
Yep.
Or just come to service on Sunday.
Typically, if I'm here and I hear somebody knock on the door, most of the time I will go check and see.
Most of the time?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'll hide.
He'll just duck behind him. This event will be held February 5th and 6th at the Milner's home with a live simulcast. The session will start at 2 o'clock and on Friday, and then at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it. What is an if gathering?
I don't know who's on first.
I don't know that either.
You'll have to go to the website to find out.
Ifgathering.com. For women only. Also, the Mexico mission trip is coming up. At least it's time to start thinking about it. For Tapestries of Life in Mexico, that trip will be July 9th through 17th. Anyone interested in committing?
You're past the date. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I'm just reading, and I've realized that I'm past the date.
You're literally blindly reading because you're not actually blindly reading.
This has got to be the most confusing podcast we've ever.
Perhaps, done. But it might be enjoyable.
Yeah. There's a mission trip coming up in the summer, July 9th through the 17th, to Mexico, to the ministry that we support there. In fact, this is, other than prayer, this is the way we support this ministry, is by sending missionaries there for a week.
Let me just say this. I looked back in the classroom that was having this meeting, and it looked like a fun group. So if you want to join a really solid, fun group of people who are going to be going to serve the Lord down in Mexico, contact Lorraine Milner.
It's not too late.
No, it is not too late.
Yeah, and you can find Lorraine's information if you go to newlifechristcommunity.org, click on leadership, and her name will be on there, her picture.
Right.
It's pleasant.
It's very nice.
Yeah. All right, we're not past the date on this one. I pre-read before, I'm going to read now. Christian Youth in Action is holding its winter retreat from February 5th through the 7th. So if you are a high school youth and you want to know more about how to share the gospel to children in our area and local summer missions, this is a great time for you to get involved with CYIA.
There you are.
There we are. If you would like to be registered, you need to talk to Erica Rice.
And you can find her information where? She's on the table.
She's on the table.
She's probably listening to the... I hope she's listening to the podcast.
So
you can...
Email me.
Email Pastor Chandler.
And I will...
Or go on our website, go under About Us, click the... or Contact, click the New Life Directory, and then email us for the password.
Boom. And you can have all the peoples.
Every person.
That's what Salem would say, all the peoples.
Boom.
Salem's my son. All the peoples.
Salem's my son. Salem's Chandler's son.
All right. Other things going on this week, Immerse. Remember, that's going to be on Wednesday night, January.
What day is today? I don't know, but I think it's going to be the 27th.
All right, January 27th, we got Immerse at 6:30. Just regular Bible classes for the whole family. Also, a Thursday morning, which is the 28th, will be men's Bible studies and women's Bible studies here at the building. And don't forget about those things.
All the while, Grief Share has begun a new rotation, so jump in or encourage those who are experiencing loss to get involved there.
All right, cool.
Awesome. So we want to talk about, what do we want to talk about today?
Well, I was thinking perhaps we could talk about, where did the Old Testament come from?
Ah, the Old Testament. The old expired Testament.
The one that...
Well, it's got cobwebs. We don't really need that.
It's crusty.
Yeah, let's just leave it on the shelf and stay in the new, right?
I don't know. Let's get into that a little bit.
Okay.
First, I figured we could talk about, where did the Old Testament come from? Specifically, how did we decide which books are in the Old Testament? And then maybe talk about, should we study it?
Should we, or should we
just be a New Testament? Right. Church.
Are we just a New Testament church?
In a sense, we are.
Yeah, you could define it.
Because Testament means sense. Covenant, and we are in the New Covenant.
Yeah.
But what about the Old Covenant, and how does that help us understand the New? We'll get there. So it's interesting. The first words put in the Ark of the Covenant as God's words were written by God.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Moses
brought
received
the tablets.
Yep.
And God,
he wrote them with his finger.
Cut the tablets, yep.
And then Moses stuck them in the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
So the Old Testament begins with God's words written by God himself.
And God wants to archive his words. He wants us to save his words. He wants us to know his words, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, following that, Moses began to write a history in the first five books of the Old Testament.
Right.
And then he put those next to the tablets.
And it's hard to say for sure if it was Moses, but we do believe, and it's a good belief to see the first five books as largely the work of Moses.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps some
portions were not written by Moses. We know that because if it was him, he was telling us about his death and where he was or was not buried.
Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe little sentences just like, hey,
here
Moses
and there.
Died.
Right.
But anywho, if Moses is going to stick books next to the tablet written by God, we have to have a way to measure should they be considered
right.
God's words.
Which books are meet the requirement of being held up with God's words.
Yeah.
In the
and
same
so that,
light as God's words.
Yeah. And that gives us the idea of a canon.
Right.
And canon...
Boy, whoa, canon. That's
yeah.
a big word.
Yeah.
It's not actually that big, but...
Right. It's five letters, maybe?
C-A-N-O-N. Yeah.
One, two, three, four. It really just means a straight rod or a measuring, some way to measure. And so... By canon, we mean these books meet the requirement, which is it has to be God's words, either spoken through a person, spoken directly, or written by God.
Right.
They have to be God's words.
In all of it, it's all inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So whether it was spoken by God or not, it was spoken of God.
So how do we know Moses wrote... What Moses wrote should be considered the God's inspired word.
That's one of the bigger questions in theology, and for new Christians, as we trust in the canon of Scripture as it stands, and as you start to think back, okay, what is it that allows us to trust in this word? It can be a scary thought, but it really isn't because. Mm. Though there had to have been a decision that was made, the decision was made long before the actual decision to canonize Scripture was made.
Yeah.
Can you explain what I just said? Or not?
I was actually thinking about what I was going to say.
Oh, go ahead.
Next, so,
all right.
No, I can't because I...
Go ahead.
Poor listening skills on my part.
That's right. No, he was reading.
Why don't you just describe what you just said?
So... Although there was a council that met, and this wasn't overnight, by the way, to decide which books ought to be included and excluded in and out of Scripture, there was strong convictions and almost unanimity among those who gathered as to which books ought to be included and which were not. And so I would say it was spirit canonized long before it was man canonized by the large C church. So though we see it as an earthly result, God solidified it in his invisible church. That would be you, me, and every other person that walked the earth who loved and served Jesus Christ many years ago, the invisible church. He canonized that in the hearts of his people.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. And so back to the words, it's not hard to imagine Moses writing what God was asking him to write. You think about how much time he spent on the mount with God and in the presence of God. And in that time, perhaps he was writing.
Right.
The things that God was asking
him
to
write about
history.
Why was he not eating and sleeping?
He was busy.
He was busy writing.
Yeah. And then you think, so that gives us the first five books.
Right.
And then Joshua.
Yeah.
And we think Joshua wrote Joshua. Is that a good theory?
It's a good theory, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think the first thought that comes to my mind is the Spirit dictated to whoever it was.
Right.
So whoever it was either close to Joshua or was Joshua.
Yeah. And when we realize the type of relationship that Joshua had with God, it's not hard to imagine that God would speak to Joshua concerning what should be written down.
Yeah, this young buck was the one who was the only one who was allowed to live in the tent of meeting back when Moses was kind of leading the charge.
Mm-hmm.
It was Joshua who was in God's presence constantly, which is pretty remarkable.
And then in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, I think it is, God says, I'll be with you just like I was with Moses.
Yeah.
So, and then from there, we get into the prophet and the prophet's writings. And these are people who God is speaking through their mouths.
Yeah.
And so what they say and write would be God's own words.
Yeah, God is dictating what they say.
And so these all are collected into a canon.
Right.
Throughout the history before Christ. And I was studying this. Where are we at? Is it already too long, you think?
No.
You're just checking the time.
There will be no edits in this podcast.
Yeah, but I was studying this to get ready for a doctrine class that I teach on Saturday mornings to the high school students. And Josephus, a Jewish historian, is that right?
Josephus,
that's what I said, right? I made him put a little accent in there.
That's cool.
But anyways, he was saying, this is somebody who wrote A.D., or around the time of Jesus, and he was saying that after about 435 B.C., there were other Jewish writings, and they did not put them, he specifically says, we did not put them with the rest of the Jewish writings, meaning like the Old Testament, because they knew the office of prophet had ceased for that time. I want to read the quote. I'm going to pull it up on my computer.
Pull it up quick before people lose interest. In the meantime, I'll do a dance. So yeah. I'm doing a jig.
I'm pulling it up.
Diddy. And Chandler, he's showing his rocket fast skills on the computer. Fast. Josephus was not a Christian, so mind you, he was not. His goal was not to further the gospel, but he was a man seeking to chronicle accurately the history of the Jewish people, and so his writings, we have no reason to not trust what he's saying, although it is not on the level of authority that Scripture is.
Yeah. Just a couple quotes, I guess, really quick. All right, I've got it up. I'm scrolling.
Couple of things. First being,
maybe we should edit a little bit. All right. What is the word of God? Got that? What's the word? Okay, again.
This is not how the doctrine class went on Saturday.
No, it was a little smoother.
So that's another thing happening. If you or your student are interested in studying doctrine, show up 9:30 at the New Life building. Be there. The doors will be open, and there will be lots of fun.
Find us.
Find us.
Here we go. In First Maccabees, we read this, which I think, is Maccabees a part of the Apocrypha?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Which is not inspired.
It is not inspired.
But the guy writes this, so they tore down the altar and stored the stones in a convenient place on the temple hill until there should come a prophet to tell us what to do with them. So he's saying, like, when the prophets closed, they realized that this prophecy had ceased. So they're not adding to the canon,
right?
Because there's no one speaking for God. And then Josephus says this, from Artaxerxes to our own times, a complete history has been written, but has not been deemed worthy of equal credit with the earlier records, namely the Old Testament, because of the failure of the exact succession of the prophets.
Now, mind you, this is important. Josephus is not writing this as a man with an agenda. He's a historian, or we might say an historian, and his goal is to chronicle the history of God's people. And if that's the case, and in some ways he has a secular history as well, but if that's the case, what he's writing is the opinion of the Jewish leaders of the day. So this is not his opinion.
Right. And so the reason I share this with you is because the people of God they were aware of when God was speaking. And from about 435 until the birth of Christ,
They knew
that God...
This is a quiet time.
Yeah. And so nothing was being added. And that gives us confidence that in the Old Testament, we don't have things there that shouldn't be there.
Right. Truth carries over into the New Testament as well.
Yeah. Perhaps next week we could talk about how we got to the New Testament.
Yeah.
The greatest confirmation in my heart, and I think in believers' heart, about the legitimacy of the canon, that is the collection of writings in the Old Testament, is what Jesus said about it in Luke 24. When he said, "Then Jesus said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'"
Right on.
So in that sentence, he confirms that
that what has been assembled is authorized by Christ himself, which I would say is a good reason to trust
with it.
Yeah. Now, the other really cool thing is this stuff was canonized. It was codified. It was brought together well before Christ ever walked the earth. And yet every book, every chapter, I would say every sentence is a precursor, preparing the world for Jesus Christ. And it's impossible. It's hard to imagine a work of such diversity coming together so perfectly to point to one character, one man, one God, Jesus Christ, unless it was inspired by God himself.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. All right, so just real quickly, you wrote a pastoral pondering about, and you can read this on the website, it's posted, but we're a New Covenant church. Why study the Old Covenant? Why study the Old Testament?
Well, I think we've done somewhat of a disservice calling it the Old Testament. Not that it isn't older, but it is what prepares the way. It lays the groundwork. It's the foundation, if you will, for the house of Christ Jesus. And you can't build the house without the foundation. And I would say Jesus Christ, who is described as the Word, that does not mean when John writes that he's the Word became flesh. He's not talking about the New Testament Word became flesh. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures have become flesh in Jesus Christ. And so if you want to know Jesus Christ, you would be wise to study the Word that is called Jesus Christ, and that would be the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And I think we see him all the more clearly in vivid color when we do dig into how he was working and preparing the world for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Yeah, if we take him as our example, he wanted the people to know him according to what had been said about him.
Yeah.
And so for us to say, well, we just want to know what, you know, these New Testament books say about him, we're kind of ignoring how he taught about himself.
That's exactly right. So, I think this is probably a bad analogy, but it'd be like watching a movie rather than being involved in the history of the movie, in the making of the movie. And I don't mean cut, but I mean if we're watching Gettysburg, it's the difference between somebody staring at the screen in a Lazy Boy chair and a person actually being involved at the battle at Gettysburg. When we just look at the New Testament, we're seeing the results, we're seeing the movie play out. But the Old Testament is the drama that lays the groundwork for the production of the movie of the New Testament.
The first sermon of the New Testament by an apostle was basically
the Old Testament.
The Old Testament. Peter steps out of the upper room and is like, all right, here's what you should know, and it's all based on the
Old Testament. That's right. And I think God had a purpose in the unrolling it the way he did, and he didn't make a mistake for thousands of years prior to the coming of Christ in doing that. He was preparing the world. So let's look at it. But please understand, the Old Testament and what it teaches results in the New Testament. It results in Jesus Christ.
So to know the new.
To know the new, you have to know the old. But more than that, even, and I would say, and I made this point in the pondering, we must be focused not on the old or the new, but Jesus Christ, who is fulfilled in all of the pages of Scripture.
So we're not a New Testament church.
Not in that sense, no.
We are Jesus.
We're Jesus Christ. Church. That's right.
All right.
The bride of Christ, or the body of Christ.
So don't grow weary.
Yeah.
But all the more glorified.
And if you hear a message that doesn't result or end or conclude or include Jesus Christ, then I think...
throw something.
Do something. Stand up. Charge out of the room. Do something. Because it's about Christ. It's not about old or new.
Yep. All right.
Blessings.